Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest, right here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Nate Weck, and thanks for joining me. Here's the top news for the week ending December 11th. Governor Dennis Dugard gave his annual budget address this week. As SDPB's Charles Michael Ray reports, the governor is proposing a $4.8 billion budget for fiscal year 2017.
Governor Dennis Dugard says South Dakota is in good fiscal shape overall. He says the state has balanced its budget honestly.
We've made structurally balanced budget the norm. We've used one-time dollars prudently, ensuring they don't become an ongoing obligation. We've paid off even more debt. We have a state pension fund that's over 100% funded. That's a rare thing in today's world. We've memorialized financial practice improvements in statute. We've put those things in statute to help guide our state for the long term, even when we're not here anymore. These practices are all paying dividends.
Dugard says those dividends include extra one-time monies and rainy day funds that have helped the state meet critical needs and remained fiscally sound even through the last recession. For the first time in 3 years, Governor Dugard says South Dakota's budget may be able to handle additional Medicaid patients. He says if things work out, he'll look at including eligible state residents into Medicaid if they make too much for traditional help but still don't have access to health care.
My budget proposes $373 million of additional federal fund expenditure authority and 55 full-time equivalent employees to handle the new eligibles. No state general funds are proposed. I also want to be clear, this is not a done deal. Our talks with the federal government have been promising, but there is still work to be done, and there's still the potential for this to fall through. Expansion costs must be covered by our current general fund budget, or I will not support it. HHS and IHS must do what they need to do to make this work. Our tribes must agree with these changes. And I will not support expansion unless you support it also.
Democrats, like State Senate Minority Leader Bernie Hunoff, praise Governor Dugard for supporting expanded Medicaid. Hunoff says the move will save lives and money. But Democrats criticize Dugard for not expanding Medicaid sooner. Democrats say the state gave up a chance to recoup millions in federal tax dollars while covering up to 55,000 South Dakotans with no cost to the state through 2016. Here's Democratic State Representative Peggy Gibson.
So in the last 3 years, by not expanding Medicaid, we have seen at least 300 South Dakotans die. So by not expanding Medicaid for the last 3 years, there's been an actual death impact in our state for South Dakotans. Plus, I feel that we would have had $1 billion injected into the state's economy. That would have turned over about 7 times, and I think our economy would have grown even more.
Dugard says the state can offset current and future costs of expanded Medicaid if the federal government lives up to its treaty obligations.
If a Native American who's Medicaid eligible seeks care, the Medicaid program covers that care, and if it's provided through Indian Health Services, Medicaid is reimbursed 100% from the federal government. In the most recently completed fiscal year, IHS spent $69.2 million providing health care to Native Americans who are also Medicaid eligible, 100% federally reimbursed. That's how it's supposed to work for all Native Americans. But it doesn't always happen that way.
Dugard says currently, reimbursement for a Native patient is reduced if the care is not completed at an IHS facility. He says it's a long way from being realized, but the state would be able to cover more if federal officials take care of all Native American health issues, no matter where that care takes place.
Now, I know some of you are not excited about expanding Medicaid, and I still share some of your thoughts. It bothers me that some people who can work will become more dependent on government. I hate that. I hate dependency. It bothers me that a single adult could choose to go on Medicaid rather than work a minimum wage job to qualify for insurance on the health insurance exchange. But we have to remember the single parent with 3 children. Between work and child care, a parent in that situation sometimes can't work enough hours to get insurance. They simply can't pay for it. They can't exceed the poverty line, and they can't get subsidized coverage. They just can't insure themselves at all.
Governor Dugard also spoke on education, another major budget issue. But after the Blue Ribbon Task Force spent months examining education in South Dakota, Dugard says people have to wait until January to learn more about his proposals for school funding. Dugard's budget includes a 0.3% increase for education. He says he's working on plans based on a report from the Blue Ribbon Education Task Force. The governor says he'll reveal those during the State of the State address next month. Republican State Representative Jacqueline Sly co-chaired the Blue Ribbon Task Force.
A lot of what we have included in the recommendations is policy, also looking at a change in the formula, but that isn't really a budget. There will be additional revenue requested or talked about or as we work through that. But I'm fine with him mentioning it, knowing that there'll be more in the State of the State.
The task force final report says South Dakota schools need a minimum of $75 million more to bring the average teacher salaries closer to neighboring states. Democratic State Senator Troy Heinert was also part of the Blue Ribbon panel. He calls education funding the elephant in the room.
You know, nobody really knows what the governor's plan. I sat on that work group as well. I know the recommendations that we had sent, and we weren't all happy coming out of there. We didn't have full consensus there. So we'll see what the governor's plan is. We'll have to make our decision and look and see if we submit another plan or what we can support and what needs changed.
The governor also addressed higher education funding. College students will see a tuition freeze if lawmakers approve his budget for the next fiscal year. The governor says state leaders should pay debt for schools and state colleges. That way, instead of making bond payments, organizations can keep the money and avoid increasing tuition prices. Dugard says that starts with a 2.5% increase for the Board of Regents, plus almost $3 million more to freeze tuition.
By using one-time funds, as I said, to repay Board of Regent bond debts, thus eliminating the bond payments they're making. For the technical schools, I'm proposing 2.7% increase. And, as with the Board of Regents, using one-time funds to repay Technical Institute debt so the avoided payments can be instead used to freeze tuition.
Dugard says paying down debt saves almost enough to keep the cost of college steady. He says the state needs to add about $425,000 to make it even. Democratic State Senator Billy Sutton says he supports a tuition freeze. He says the move makes higher education more affordable and attainable.
You know, that's a big deal. Anytime we can freeze tuition and try to make the cost of going to higher education a little bit cheaper for our students in South Dakota is a good thing.
The Dugard budget also increases salaries for state employees at just under 3%, plus extra increases to move some employees to market value. The governor's budget includes about $16 million for a number of miscellaneous items, like maintaining state buildings and maintaining health care in the State Department of Corrections, plus an expansion of drug and DUI courts. Governor Dugard says the state has $60 million in one-time funds available for the next fiscal year. He says much of that should go towards debt reduction. Other one-time expenditures include about $2 million to the Native American Student Achievement Fund, plus another $2 million for the need-based scholarship endowment. Dugard also proposes adding about $2 million to the Wildfire Suppression Fund. Governor Dennis Dugard says he's basing the state's annual budget on growth estimates from South Dakota's economic advisors.
The moderated forecast is closer to recent trends for employment and income growth, and that moderated forecast was used to develop the revenue projections I'm going to be presenting to you today. We expect continued economic growth, but at slow and steady rates over the next 2 years, not accelerating rates.
Dugard says the state will add about 6,000 new jobs annually. That's a job growth rate of about 1.4% in the coming years. He believes the state will see lower farm income due to a softening in commodity prices projected in the coming year. Agriculture is South Dakota's number one industry, and Dugard says a slowdown in farm income means less spending overall.
Black Hills National Cemetery will host its annual Wreaths Across America wreath-laying ceremony this weekend at its facility located just outside the town of Sturgis. As SDPB's Jim Kent reports, this is the 10th year the cemetery has taken part in the nationwide event, which dates back to 1992.
It began as a happy accident when the Wooster Wreath Company had extra wreaths available at the end of the 1992 holiday season. Company owner Morrow Wooster had been impacted by a visit to Arlington National Cemetery as a boy. It was an experience that reminded him, even at that age, that his family's good fortune was due in large part to those veterans who'd made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. Wooster asked for permission to lay the company's excess wreaths at Arlington in 1992. Wreaths Across America spokesperson Tobin Slavin picks up the story.
After they placed the wreaths that first year, they said, "We feel really good about what we've done. We want to come back and do it again." And they continued to do that for about 15 years. It was a quiet company project and without much fanfare.
Until 2005.
There was a light dusting of snow, and an Air Force press corpsman took a photo of the wreaths in the snow with the red bows. And that became what we call the iconic photo because it went viral on the web. And all of a sudden, this little company up in Maine started receiving phone calls and emails.
And the annual event turned into a national effort to recognize deceased veterans at the holiday season. The Wreaths Across America organization was founded in 2007 and now places 900,000 wreaths at more than 1,100 locations nationwide. Black Hills Veterans Administration spokesperson Teresa Forbes says wreath-laying ceremonies will take place this Saturday in Sturgis and Hot Springs as part of the Wreaths Across America tribute.
The ceremony offers a time to kind of take a pause during this busy holiday season so that we remember and honor our cherished veterans who've been laid to rest at the VA National Cemeteries.
The public is invited to each ceremony where 7 wreaths are laid, one for each branch of the military, and one in memory of all those POWs and MIAs.
A constitutional amendment to establish nonpartisan elections in South Dakota may be on the ballot in 2016. The amendment seeks to stop candidates from running under the title of Democrat or Republican. SDPB's China Lockett has more.
The constitutional amendment to establish nonpartisan elections is controversial for some Democrats and Republicans. Rick Weiland is the chair of South Dakotans for a Nonpartisan Democracy. He says the amendment will lead to better public policy.
It shouldn't be about the well-being of the country based on whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican. We're all citizens of the greatest democracy in the world, and we need to come together. There are challenges that we face as a country, you know, here in the United States and around the world, issues that have got to be tackled. But if all we can do is stand up and beat the drum, this partisan drum and this unwillingness to cross the aisle and work together to solve these problems, we're never going to get at them.
Not everyone agrees that nonpartisan elections would be a benefit to voters. Brian Gosch is a Republican majority leader in South Dakota. He says it's easier for voters to make decisions when they know a candidate's party affiliation.
I think it's an attempt to get more Democrats elected. I mean, each party has a goal of getting as many of their candidates elected as possible. And more recently in South Dakota, Republicans have won more elections, whether it be the legislature or statewide offices, which only Republicans hold those positions right now. So if you're not getting it done based on ideas and policies you support, then you have to look for other means to get elected or to try to get your candidates elected.
Some disagree with Gosch. Weiland argues,
you know, having been a lifelong Democrat and a proud Democrat, a strong Democrat, I really do believe that the party label has gotten in the way of good public policy, that we can get at these problems without having to always get at each other.
If signatures are verified by the Secretary of State, the constitutional amendment for nonpartisan elections will appear on the November 2016 general election ballot.
The Senate has passed an educational reform bill that changes the No Child Left Behind law. Congressional officials say that some reforms are expected to help prevent youth suicides in Indian Country. SDPB's China Lockett also has more to this story.
South Dakota Senator John Thune says changes to No Child Left Behind will give more control to teachers, parents, states, and school boards. Thune added 2 amendments to the bill that he says will help address the youth suicide epidemic in Indian Country.
The First Amendment would require greater coordination among federal agencies as it relates to their efforts to address youth suicide, and the second would expand the use of a program called Project SERVE, which is School Emergency Response to Violence funds.
Thune says expanding Project SERVE can have a direct impact on the problem.
This amendment would allow recipient schools like those on the Pine Ridge Reservation more flexibility in creating and designing prevention programs that they think will work.
Thune says both reforms were passed unanimously by Senate earlier this year. South Dakota Congresswoman Kristi Noem says she is backing a separate mental health bill that also aims to prevent youth suicide.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Dakota Digest. For more radio news stories and for additional content from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, visit sdpb.org. Also on our website, you can sign up for our News and Information Weekly newsletter. Be sure to stay connected with us on social media as well. You can like South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and follow our Twitter accounts, at SODACPB and at SDPB News. I'm Nate Weck with South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks for joining me, and have a great day.